Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Don Allen, and I know you can't see me because I screwed up my settings, and all you see is Jonathan Mason. So let me go in there and figure out what the heck I did to screw that up, but not on purpose, but also maybe to help me to get in. There we go. Help me to get into this shot. Okay, because there might be three of us by the time I'm done. Good evening. We'd like to welcome everybody to the show, and I am just making some adjustments. We're playing with some new technology, ladies and gentlemen, and it's pretty wild and fun. And everything you see here, you'll see the Jonathan, do you see the closed caption there at the bottom?
I do.
Okay. All right. Cool. So we're there, and I am actually going to attempt to get my mug on the scene here. I just sacrificed everything and went out there and forgot to put my face on it. But that's okay because
we got a lot of big things going on tonight, don't we?
Yes, we do. We got all kinds of craziness going tonight. We're gonna find out who got the money, who's getting the money. We're gonna talk about Corona, and I think I'm gonna be able to join you momentarily here, Jonathan. It says that I'm already in. You should be in. Oh, gee. Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm getting some serious. Like this.
Can you hear me?
Okay. That should have eliminated it right there. That was crazy. But you know, things like that happen when you're on, you're testing out new material, you're just having a lot of fun doing this. And so we're here on this, what is it, the 4th of May? It was a day off for school for the children.
Yep, a day off for the kids.
Yes, day off for the kids. And let me get this right. Oh, yeah, here we go. Now we're coming into focus. Yeah, here we go. That was a day off for the kids, and there's a lot of things going on. And, again, we're just having kind of a technology test night, and we might be here for an hour, we might not. I know I do not want to hold an iPad for an hour because the other one is acting funky on me. But I needed to have both of us in the screenshot, which I'm going to figure out. I thought I had it figured out. That's okay. We'll get it next time. We'll like do it a half hour earlier next time and then come on and just do all this. Because, you know, I just we're also simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio. If you have any questions or comments, it's 347-426-3904. And folks are going to get to look at a lot of stuff today just by us sitting here.
We had some big news today. Trump, did you hear Trump endorsed Lacey Johnson for Congressional District 5?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I hear the donations are rolling in from across America. You know, Lacey's raised $1 million up to this point. And, you know, the first time you raise money, it goes to the people who raised it for you. And then the second round and third round, you start getting the money. So it's kind of a weird system, but that's the way politics works, especially if you hire professional fundraisers because they want to get paid first and they're not playing. So with that said, it's an exciting time for Lacey. And I'm hoping that he gets out there and does what he needs to do and does more than make a showing. Because, you know, in the 5th Congressional District, they don't really do well.
Right.
At all, the Republicans. So let's hope something changes. You know, already Nikema Levy Armstrong has not endorsed at all. She endorsed that other gentleman running for Congress. I can't remember his name because, you know, he came out of nowhere, so I don't really care. He hasn't made a shout out or Howard. But
right.
She's endorsing Omar at all whatsoever. And she's
right.
She's almost angry that Ilhan Omar is in there. What are your thoughts, Jonathan?
Well, I think right now, with the temperature in America right now, Ilhan Omar right now has the Republican Party on her back right now. And being that she is in the congressional 5th district, she has the opportunity to kind of be pushed through. And so, Lacey Johnson, I know he got endorsed by Trump, whether that's good or bad. I know for in the state of Minnesota, it might be an uphill battle if you get an endorsement like that. But it's great to see a black man get endorsed by a president because, you know, we had so many presidents before who never even, you know, would think about trying to endorse a black man. So with that being said, Lacey Johnson, I'm happy for him. But I think with Ilhan Omar right now, she's going to have an uphill battle as well. You know, she there's a lot of things, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with, but I heard there's campaign finance fraud, potentially. There's her recent husband, I guess he was given $250,000 as a consulting firm from campaign finances, and then she marries him, and, you know, now the money's back in her account. So, you know, I think that we're going to be if Lacey Johnson fights the right way, like I think he should, he has the potential to win the congressional 5th district. And in a couple questions, I hope he comes back in or calls in. But a couple questions I have for him is, what is the strategic plan for Minneapolis, North Minneapolis, Crystal, Plymouth, Robbinsdale, Golden Valley? And we're going to pose that question for Toya Woodland as well.
And it sounds like a plan, you know, that giving your campaign manager all that money, you know, back in the old West, we used to call that prostitution. But anyway,
right.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of interesting that how that went down. And I'm actually, while you're talking to me, I am actually sitting here logging in to our Facebook page on my other iPad since I have everything here hooked up and running.
Wonderful.
And make sure that we are coming across clean, which we are, and it's not looking bad at all. Okay, you can't probably see that. Don't worry about it. Oh yeah, I can show it to you like this. Yeah, is no one else? I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of dark, but yeah, we're coming across good. So that's like half my battle there, because I'm going to do something spectacular on folks coming up here on Saturday, and this is just, we can stumble and fumble on this
right now. And you know, in the preliminary part, you know, we're working the kinks out, but I think with everything we got going on right now during quarantine, once we get the kinks worked out, this it's going to be a media blitz, because we're going to be all over the airwaves.
Oh yeah, and I'll be very happy with that. Turning the sound up a little. There we go. Oh man,
can you hear me just fine over there?
Yeah, you're perfect. You're coming in perfect now. Yeah, I just had the sound on something else because of the feedback we were getting. But anyway, so we have Lacey Johnson, who was endorsed by Trump today, and then you have Toya Woodland, who was endorsed by Jesse Ventura, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. And I know that Ilhan Omar is going to be coming into Minneapolis to speak at a couple of the black churches, I think it's this week. Kind of the wraps are being kept on that.
Hey, well, and it's a perfect timing for it. We almost assumed this would happen, you know, typically in the Democratic Party. I'm surprised they're not having rappers come in, you know, and they have these type of facades every couple years, election season. They come in and they want to tick our ears, but nothing really gets done. So, you know, hopefully they do you know where she's heading to?
I think it's New Salem, Reverend Jerry McAfee's church.
Okay.
So,
and I know Jerry McAfee is a good dude. So hopefully he opens up the door for her and lets her be able to explain what she's going to do for us, you know?
Yeah, that'd be very interesting to find that out. I know she's not necessarily focused
specifically on the 5th Congressional District at all whatsoever, and that's kind of troubling to say the least. But she also decides that, you know, she just wants to, you know, go out there and be international. I mean, that's cool. I respect her hustle. Everyone has a hustle. But, you know, there's some the people that use the clinic at North Point, you have almost 90% of them are, you know, over 150 points below the level of the federal poverty line. So what are they going to do with that? You know, that's something that a congressperson who had an office right across from North Point for since 2006 or 2008, you know, or 2010, whenever it was, but he didn't do much
to
solve that issue. And this issue continues to happen in poverty, blight, the 2011 tornado, the empowerment zone, the achievement zone. I mean, you have millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars dumped in over north, and we don't see a whole lot of results. And it all over, St. Paul, too.
I mean, right. And, you know, like you said, it's all over, and it's been a merry-go-round. And hopefully we can keep the pressure on some of these candidates to, you know, hold them accountable, provide a transparent agenda for us for the future because – you know, nothing's changed, Don. Nothing over here has changed. The violence is getting worse, like we said. And even with COVID right now, and I know you want to touch on the coronavirus a bit, but with that in North Point right now, they're swamped. They're absolutely swamped. If you drive down Penn right there off of Plymouth and you go over there and look at the hospital, they're completely swamped. It's jam-packed. People don't have masks on, and we're at our highest levels right now in terms of cases and deaths. And I know everybody's in a financial crisis, you know, our economy and stuff like that, but I think that parts of our communities are being thrown to the wolves, and that concerns me.
Absolutely, because, you know, historically, North Minneapolis, when the nonprofit game really started to roll, like the late 90s, when people caught wind of this funding thing, from, you know, and to get a little bit more into the politics, and then maybe even before that, North Minneapolis is and always has been a petri dish of economic despair. I mean, you could find anything that you got a grant for at the state, federal, county, city level. That challenge exists in North Minneapolis. Even then, mostly, you know, poverty is man-made. These problems are basically man-made. So, I mean, every major city, I mean, I've been all over the United States, and every major city that looks like North Minneapolis is littered with us, basically. Right outside the state capitol, or really close to it, or right
and,
up.
And we know this is due to redlining and stuff like that from the, you know, the manufacturing eras and stuff like that, where they force basically the back community into the cities.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And so, I mean, now it's really funny. I just lost your video, John Bell. You're back. Boom, boom. That was magic. Okay, I'll put it like this. So I know a group of students. They're not necessarily my students, but they live in the Little Earth area over in South Minneapolis.
Yeah.
They're having a hell of a time trying to log on the internet. And it's a thing you had just mentioned redlining. Well, if anybody read Raisin in the Sun and understood that plot of that story and what happened and can parallel it to what's happening today with the internet, and it's called weblining. So we have weblining happening in these areas of poor people. You know, I might pay $250 a month for internet where I live in St. Paul because I want the fastest and the best. And people that might pay that up to that in those areas don't get the same service, but they're paying basically the same price. You know, and that leads on to other things. Like there's a guy named Lenny Chisholm. He's a good friend of mine. We worked together in 2008 for a short time. He did an information request with the Minnesota State Lottery. Do you know the people in the areas that buy the most lottery tickets are concentrated with Black Americans, Native Americans, Asian Americans, not wealthy, most of them in poverty, but that's where they make a lot of their money.
Wow.
If you look at the map where the money is dispersed, like the winnings, it's not in really in the inner city. It's just a very little. And you have the wildlife and the, you know, the plants getting all this extra money. I guess they have a reserve of $1.7 billion or something like that. There's a lot of money in reserve in the Minnesota State Lottery that I think that we should start looking at very closely and getting our hands in that cookie jar.
Like you said, that money, when you're dealing in this system, and you touched on this, they're putting these lotteries all throughout our communities, and they're taking a lot of wealth and money out of the city, and then they throw the major winnings way out in, put them out in Belle Plaine, and so now the city never gets it, and the money's gone. And so, like you said, putting pressure on the wildlife and the lottery people and saying, hey, look, we need some of this money, and we need it to be dispersed within these communities with oversight. And it's not going to go to a couple groups of people who've been sitting around since the 70s collecting checks, and nothing has happened at all, you know?
Over the last 10 years or 11 years now here on this show, we've talked about those kind of challenges and issues with people that, I'm not upset with nonprofits. They do what they do, I guess, but that something's not working. The mechanism is broken because there's too many people that look like us living with nothing, basically, and having minimum. So if you have a nonprofit that says does this or does that by shoestrings, shoes, whatever, then that's the function. That's
right.
The system that it should be in. But what I'm finding out and what I know, and I'm singing to the choir basically, is that, I'm not anti-nonprofit. I'm anti-organizational design. So if you have an organization that's supposed to do X, Y, Z, and there's no shift, it's like this. Everybody's watching the COVID numbers, right? They're watching.
Right.
Let me get the right hand. Is it this hand? Yeah, this hand. Okay. They're going up. They're going up like this. Every day you see these COVID numbers. Then you see this little curve right here, right? And then you see it start to decline a little bit. In our community, we can't watch that. That climb to the top in jobs, economic stability, sustainability, futures. There's no one printing a graph like that.
Right.
And it's just because it's not happening. And, you could tell that it mimics some of the state agencies. The Minnesota Department of Transportation has not been in compliance as far as minority contractors. And to my conservative friends, if you didn't know I'm Black, okay, and so I care about Black issues, that's not a threat to you. But, we should all be able to go out of the house and not put on a mask. Not do it, do great.
Right.
So, it's important to recognize that, and I don't think anytime soon this will be solved.
I think it's going to linger.
Yeah, it is. And let me ask you this, Jonathan. What do you think, what is the new normal supposed to look like for Black Minnesota?
For Black Minnesota, it's going to look rough. And with that being said, is a lot of the jobs that we're losing are jobs that we probably won't ever get back. And many of our essential workers, and they're essential and we're very grateful for them, but these Walmart jobs and Target jobs and other jobs where majority of those roles have been filled by us, those are going to be gone after this. What does the economic future for the Black community look like? And I'm trying to get out ahead, like Paul Revere, and like when he was saying the British are coming, I'm trying to get out ahead of the ball game to say, you guys, the Great Depression for the Black community, which has always been here, it's now the Great, Great Depression. And we must now switch what we've been doing for so long, whether it's having the Democratic Party take our vote for you know, for granted.
Forever. Yeah.
Yep. And not letting, you know, other people dictate what is for our future. So they have their numbers on our futures, but what can we do to combat those numbers? And that's what I'm teaching, you know, with my business, I'm helping people get their businesses off the ground. I show you how to start a business, you know, how to get in compliance, have a capability letter. If you're trying to be a general contractor, getting those individuals into roles where you're the boss, because we know Harvard's done studies and they said if your name is Tamika versus Kimberly,
yeah,
you're not getting the job. Period. You won't, even with a college degree, you're just not getting it. Harvard and Yale, they did many studies on this. So, but what they the black community they don't tell the black community is, if you start your own business, say if you smoke a little weed, you're not doing your own drug test on yourself, so you're not worried about that. You're not worried about somebody discriminating against you because you're your own boss. So now making your own money and making your own route and working with each other, you know, trying to go back to the Black Wall Street. And, you know, if we want to succeed in that type of mentality, we have to get away from the Liberal Party. I would say that because we don't want to rely on the government. Right now, we're seeing how the government right now, they've given $1,200, okay? They haven't suspended rent, okay? And now jobs are gone. So what does that look like in July when unemployment's gone, Don? We're 3 months away, okay?
Yeah.
We're maybe 2 months away. We're 2 months away from July, the last checks for unemployment to hit, unless they do a change, which they're not talking about. So if they say, you know what, everybody, we're going to open up May 18th, just know that your job is gone. Your job is gone. Okay, they're not going to give you another check, and you're in financial ruin come August.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we have to get out ahead. We have to. No one's coming to save us, Don.
No, and I fully agree with that statement. I think we're on the edge of civil unrest because when people don't have, they are desperate. They go and do all this. You know, it's like. I watch this guy. His name's K.G. Wilson. He's always at these murder scenes, and he's done one too many vigils in the last 2 weeks. And it's someone, one of us killing another one of us. It's not the police. It's not the farmer down the street. It's not a getting hit by a car. It's actively going into these places and shooting each other. Okay?
Right.
I mean, there's white-on-white crime. I know.
Over petty things.
Yeah, you disrespected me. I just read tonight in the NBC that in Michigan, a security guard was killed.
Oh, my God.
Over a mask. And they asked the guy, well, why did you kill him? He says, because he disrespected me.
Right.
What's the fight?
Killed him.
And I'm like, really? You know, and what you're saying about business and us being sustainable to do what we need to do is very true. But are they teaching life skills in 6th through 12th grade in public schools around the U.S., are they teaching how to read a lease, how to understand a banking, your checkbook, things like that that they should learn, but it's more boutique than it is academic.
Right.
It's like, what the heck? We're going to do a checkbook today. Ah! Okay, the kids are all hyped up because they make it of some kind of value in the classroom. Okay, I get that, okay? But if it's used consistently throughout the year, especially for seniors, I feel really bad for our seniors, especially my class of seniors, because they're the greatest group of kids. I mean, man, it's unbelievable. And you ever have one of those laughs that you laugh so hard that your ribs, you get a Charlie horse in your ribs?
Yeah.
That's going on in my classroom, okay? Because someone will do something, and we're like in deep discussion sometimes, right? And someone will just say something crazy, blah, and it will be funny in the whole class. And you just feel like, you know, you're relieved. It relieves a lot of pressure. And I see them online with me. And I see the pressure in their eyes. I see them sitting here not knowing, you know, Mr. Allen, when are we going to graduate? Do we get to walk across the stage? Do we get to do this? Do we get to do that? I says, no. So this is good as it gets right here. You looking at me, me looking at you, us looking at each other with your other peers and colleagues, whatever. And so it's very disturbing and it's traumatic, this class of 2020. But here goes the deal. The school systems across the country gave the kids the Chromebooks and the iPads.
Right. Okay?
They did not teach them technology. Okay.
Right.
Teach them the software. It's like, what's it? I know this guy. He went to New York, NYU, New York University. And he was telling me, he says, man, when I was in high school out in New York, some suburb outside of Manhattan somewhere, not a borough, but way further out.
Mm-hmm.
He said they taught us how to do this with the iPad, this with the MacBook, this and this, all these pieces that you need to survive your first year in college.
Right.
I guarantee you, Jonathan, I bet you a steak dinner at Ruth Chris if it ever opens back up. Or I'll barbecue over here. You and your family come over after Corona.
Right.
I will bet you a big T-bone steak that if you told 10 seniors from any inner city school in the country to write a table of content, insert a table of content in their document, in their research document, that's if they could do a research document, they wouldn't know how to do it. And that's something they do. I didn't get it down from there. Yeah.
Yeah, but, no, you're 100% right.
We were missing
hey,
that.
Ellen, you know.
What's that? Where did you get
What I was saying was you're 100% right. And this new, this new normal is going to be like, it's going to take many of us to be able to change what's going to actually happen, because I truly believe right now these kids are going to suffer more than we will ever know. And it's more than, you know, just missing out this last six, you know, the 6 weeks or maybe 8 weeks. I worked all my life to get out of this area, get out of the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to a Harvard or I go to Yale and now school's closed and they're telling me I got to go back to the hood.
Yeah.
And it's scary for a lot of people. And I think that, what do you think? And as a teacher, and I want to ask you this, what do you think learning is going to look like in the future after this?
Well, I think this is an opportunity to start. And I'm sending, some people are saying that they want to call in. We're also on Blog Talk Radio. But what I'm going to do here is I am going to copy this and go to Facebook, and I'm going to answer your question too, Jonathan. I'm trying to get this on.
Oh, yeah, no worries.
I'm going to shoot this in. If you want to join this conversation, remember, I have the power to mute your ass, so don't come in here talking crazy. If you want to join us, you can. I will put up the link right underneath the live stream for you in a couple of seconds here, as soon as I find it. Yeah. Monday night, the engineer is off. Okay.
This is new. People are like, what in the world? They have our talk show going on and they're at home. It's the new normal, guys.
Yep. So if you have a technology, and this is a very interesting test. Let's see who out there in our community even has this technology to get on the air before we get off. That would be very interesting to see.
Right.
Because you know, when we do this, we have to do all this extra. What the hell? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to. There we go. Now we're cooking it better. That did not work. Anyway, I'm back.
Do we have any callers?
Let me see here. I'm going to check. I don't think we do. I haven't given the number out. We have no callers, but if you give me 2 minutes, I'm going to have a place for you to just come right here, right in, and chat with us. And I am currently doing, again, it is professional, but what we're doing is we're testing out several systems by using one foundation system. So we know what we're doing. We're just, you know, we're not, you can't tell everybody everything. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, Don? You got to keep it all a secret sometimes.
Yeah, because it's time to shut some stuff down. But anyway, I am going to go to my calendar here real quick, and I'm going to put the link on Facebook, and I'm just doing a test. I'm really, really curious right now because I know, and you know, Jonathan, that when you do this stuff, you got to
have... I know they're watching. People are watching. They're watching.
You got to have the link, and come on, don't don't do that. Okay, here we go. Cancel. Here we go. I got it. Finally. After looking for somebody, there it is. Copy. Go to Facebook. Oh, it's waiting there. So.
See me just fine?
Yeah, I see you just fine. Yeah. So I just posted the link. If you guys want to join us, it says join us on Facebook. I'm really curious to see. Who has the technology? Anybody that's watching or that has listened shows up on this. Because one of the things, you know, they're talking about equity, which is really important to me. You know, how can kids or people have equity outside from their main social circles?
Right.
They're at home right now when they're doing the stay-at-home piece. And I think that's really interesting because I think of it, I have to look at it like this. I know children in the classroom that really don't have any equity while they're in the classroom, yellow, red, black, and white, okay? And so if they didn't have equity in the classroom while the school was open, it is impossible for them to have equity at home right now. So,
right.
And I mean, I've heard the horror stories. I know that there are 6 or 7 kids in one house, and all of them are in school, and all of them have iPads, and the mom has to work, the dad has to work. They're doing jobs where they have to be at work. So who's teaching those kids? Because you can't let anybody come over there, basically, because of stay-at-home.
Right.
Following that, I would love to have a babysitter and get out of here. But we know that you can't do that right now, and that's understandable.
Right.
So,
and like you touched on a major piece is, what about those single parents that maybe their husband or boyfriend's in jail? They have 3 to 5 kids. They're from ages, you know, they're from second grade to, you know, 11th grade. And they have Zoom meetings all start at 9 o'clock, and you haven't made breakfast yet. The kids are hungry. The $1,200 isn't enough. You know, rent's calling. What does that look like? And we know it's not equitable. And there's terms, you know, they throw, you know, terms around like, you know, distant learning or the you know, all these nice terms, but what we know it is it's poverty with oppression, and we need to get out ahead of the ball game. And like you said, we have to be technology savvy. We have to be able to jump on a Zoom or a Zoom room or a Google Meet quickly.
Yeah.
To get these things done. And, you know, we will.
Yeah. I mean, this, you know, this technology is something that everyone should be able to use. Everyone should be using it. Because if you have a Gmail account, you have a Yahoo, you have an Outlook, this is free for you right now. I mean, it's always been, basically. And you have so few people in our community even taking advantage of this type of technology. And they should. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. So
right.
It's an opportunity to explore and to get excited about something again because, I mean, I love this. Both my kids have iPads, and I can sit down here, and they already know I have their iPad set. When I call them on Google Meet or Duo or FaceTime, they know it's Daddy. They better answer it. I'm going to be coming looking for them. You know?
Right. And that's major, too. What about the technology? I wanted to touch on this real quick. What are the schools using as far as working with the teachers, connecting with the students?
Oh, I mean, there's all kinds of platforms, man. There's Flipgrid. There's all kinds of really good platforms. See, here goes the thing. Platforms that are put out there, that have been out there for years and years and years, work perfectly. They've been through trial and error, till they are perfected. The thing
right.
was, the educational facilities across the United didn't connect with these online, because these people online, like forward thinkers, you know, software developers and people like that, they're really forward thinkers. And they're like, hey, one day, this is going to be a tool to use all the time for all the grades because, you know, people can share. It's just it's like a Flipbook or Flipgrid. It's like a Facebook for school, for kids. My little kid does it. Like today, they had to do their homework from last week, and one of it was to see how high they can drop an egg in covered in, you know,
it's a science experiment.
So it doesn't break inside their protection. And so it was on them. And so each one of my kids went and took something and they wrapped up the eggs, you know, loosely and then put them in envelopes and did this. And one climbed to the top of the ladder, dropped it about 10 feet, and the egg didn't break. The other one broke the egg immediately.
Wow.
So it's just something fun to do. But they film that with each other and then they on Flipgrid and then they share it with their whole class. And
wow.
There's really good stuff out there right now to facilitate. I might have to do my whole summer school class online. It's going to be off the chain because I get kind of loose in the summer and you can do a lot more stuff, right? And
right.
I think there's enough solid, very solid, very exciting software out there and online internet stuff to make the learning experience. You know, I'm not going to give my students 4 hours of work every day because we're not in the classroom. Okay, that's ridiculous.
Right.
You have people that are doing that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say, you know, I know you got three or four of the classes today. Can I have 20 minutes of your time? And
right.
if they take 20 minutes, they're going to do it. They're going to be happy, hopefully, and they're going to move on. And then they have enough time to do their other stuff and play because they're kids. And that's the important thing we got to recognize.
Right.
And to round it off, to get back to the new normal is going to have to be totally different because I'm not accepting any structural or institutional racism anymore. I'm done with that.
Right.
The minute someone says something crazy or does something crazy, I'm calling them out on the spot. I mean, I myself cannot throw rocks in a glass house, but neither can 99% of the other folks. So we're all in a safe space. So with that said, decide how we want to proceed. Are this group going to hate this group? Is this group not going to talk? Or do we not care about those minions and we move ahead and over them and complete the mission? We were assigned, you know, this generation especially was assigned to do some stuff for future generations that never got done.
Right.
Blood on our hands, you know. That's basically, we got blood on our hands because we have our kids going and they're 22% proficient in reading, and they're celebrating 23%. Well, I wasn't born last night, but if I was, I stayed up all night because I know that 70% is a C, right? What is 23%? They might as well say nothing, zero. Don't say anything till you get to 70. Just come on back out. Oh, they're not at 70.
Just like college.
More, you know. I really would respect people more if they just say, hey, kids aren't at 70%, but we're working toward that, you know? That would be a great piece right there.
But what is it? It's like, what is that proficiency piece within schools where the kids are there at the same amount of time? Obviously, we know that, you know, institutional racism and stuff that goes on in the schools. But why are those numbers not increasing? It's absurd to me if we have all these equity groups within, you know, and all these new programs and stuff for our kids. and programs being ran by people who don't actually look like us. Why aren't those things working, and are they? Why aren't they held to account? Because we're spending so much money each and every year, and I think the Minneapolis Public Schools budget is like $560 million or something. And it's just And it's just unbelievable because you have all this money. We're still running a deficit in lunches. You know, you got Philando Castile's mom. She's doing the foundational work with paying the lunches. He was killed by the state, and now his mom is helping the state pay for lunches. And it's a beautiful thing. I love what she's doing, Valerie Castile. But that just shows us what in the world is going on within these systems, especially if our kids are not even able to do simple math problems, you know, algebra problems. They can't read. They're not proficient in reading, but they're graduating and they're, you know, just getting forced pushed through.
Okay. It's 9:11. I guess we're going to go to about 9:15 according to this. And
yeah.
We're just testing the stuff out, making sure, and then I'll figure out stuff in some later. But you're right on point. And to explain that, you know, every school system has these things called Common Core benchmarks and standards, and they're not written by actually teachers in a school. They're written by people here at the state who really don't have a connection other than the connections they make from outside of the metro area. So you might have a representative from Apple Valley. You might have a representative from Edina. You might have a representative from Rosemont. Wayzata, Hopkins, and I'll tell you this, Scout's owner, not that I ever want to be a Boy Scout, that could be painful, but I was at a meeting at the Minnesota Department of Education,
right,
where they were talking about the English language arts benchmarks and standards. Basically, that's what kids should know in each grade as they progress to 12th grade, and what does college readiness and preparedness look like?
Right.
And I'm looking in the room. Again, I'm the only black person in the room, but I ain't scared of you. You know what Bernie Mac would say? I ain't scared of you.
Right.
I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow. And there was no one really. There's no one there from St. Paul or Minneapolis. But I just asked the guy, I says, you know, who did you talk to?
Right.
What you're saying now doesn't make any sense. I'm not teaching Shakespeare in the inner city under no way, shape, and form. Okay?
Right.
Why would I teach Shakespeare when I can teach Ralph Ellison, Baldwin, bell hooks, you know, folks like that? You know, give them
right.
Some postmodernism, some feminism, give them some mad black man out of Baldwin, second chapter, you know? Let them talk about that boxing match. Baldwin, you know, James Baldwin's book, The Invisible Man, was really good because James Baldwin explains what we're going through right now.
I know. Is it allowed in the school for you to teach?
Oh yeah. I have no banned books. There's nothing like that. But so James Baldwin, Invisible Man, in early in the first and second chapter, and he talks about how he lived in the basement of this house with 1,000 lights, that he's stealing the power from the power company, blah blah blah. But
all right.
He went to college, and you know, he was going to get this certificate, the scholarship, but he had to speak at this exclusively white club back then, this white organization. And what they did is they invited him in. He was a VIP, but they had a bunch of black men that were to go in a boxing ring and be blindfolded, and they had to punch and knock down everybody. This is in his book, Invisible Man. Get it. It's like the most atrocious thing you ever want to read. Why would you even go through this? But I'll explain that to you. So he's there to talk to this organization as a scholar, and they said, no, you're getting in the ring too. So they made him take off his shirt, his suit, his tie, his suit, coat.
Oh, no way.
Put a blindfold in him and put him in the ring. Now, he got his ass whooped, okay? There's a clip on YouTube.
Poor James.
You know, he got beat up. But afterwards, in the book, he talked to, you know, He put on a suit, got a composure. He sat back there. He talked to these guys, and they gave him a briefcase and then a letter for a scholarship. But that's what he was there for in the first place. But that institutionalized structural racism that existed then and now told him that he was less than a man, made him less than a man. The mask that he had on, and he was a scholar. He wasn't no different than the rest of these black dudes. So you get in the ring too, black man.
Right. Right, and that's where we're at.
We're right there in first and second chapter in Invisible Man, and people are not really paying much attention. Why? Because they don't read. You and I know that. We like to read. I read everything. Not just these little.
Right. I love reading.
I'm reading two thick books now. I regret I started them, but they're really good. But the thing is, we need to make sure that we understand that we read stuff that. We're listening to people, and that we have our own ideas, because this major group think that's going on, it's killing us.
Right, right.
It's making it really bad for us right now, and we need to do better. Okay. Ms. Arredondo said she needs some help through the process. See, that's what I'm talking about. You have someone as talented as this person here that I'm talking about, and she needs some help to get on Google Meet. Go to your Gmail, because you're watching now. Go to your Gmail. Go to the right corner, the little dot in the right corner there. Your right corner would be on this side over here. But since I'm sitting this way, okay, it looks a lot weird. Anyway, this is the right side. This is the left side. There's some little dots. Go down there. And, oh, no, you can't do that. Just click on the link. That's all you got. I sent you the link. I forgot. I put the link on Facebook if anybody wants to call in or talk. Let me see. I will check and see if we have any callers. I'm sure we don't. I don't even think I turned the phone lines on, which would be my bad. So, no, nothing. So we're good. We're good. And for those of you that are a little hard of hearing, like some of my older friends, Larry Tucker, we have closed captioning for the rest of our shows. You'll be able to see. Can you see that, Jonathan?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, they got the closed captioning right down there that anything we say, let me see. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Ooh, it did it.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty tight. Yeah, there's Ralph Ellison, and I said Ralph Ellison, but I was talking about Baldwin and a bunch of other people. Thank you, Anthony Scott, who needs to use his technology and click on the link and get on with us. But I know that he's going to need to be walked through the procedure, too. Ain't got time today, bro. But anyway, hey, we got somebody. We found somebody. I done talked her up. I was talking real crazy.
She joined. It says somebody joined. Let's see if she pops up.
Yeah, she's there, but she's hiding her picture because she said that. No, I'm just kidding. Why are you not there, lady? Hello?
Hold on. I see. Oh, her microphone. She has to hit her microphone.
Now turn your microphone on. Let me see here. Yeah, your microphone is off. I can't unmute you. If I could, I would.
I know. I was just trying.
Okay. You want to take off the sunglasses? Take off the freeze. Just a minute. Let me take some of the stuff off. Cue. I don't want that. But anyway, you see, I'm playing with some things on here that I shouldn't be playing with. And then I go like this.
Carlotta Arredondo?
Yes, that's who we're waiting on. If you would turn your microphone off, you're probably not even ready to be on camera, and I respect that. I mean, turn your microphone on because we can't hear you. I will type her a message here real quick. Turn on your mic. Now, we're giving out lessons today on how to use different technology.
Yeah, I just literally, you see my message I wrote on there?
You know what? I probably didn't because, yeah, turn on your mic. Oh, I wrote the same thing. I didn't even see that. I wasn't looking probably.
No,
yes. Yeah. He is on mute. I cannot turn on or turn off her. I'm not going to remove her. So we're going to.
I don't think I did something right.
No, it wasn't on your end here. It just says that her microphone is off. She's here, but we can't hear her. She probably did it from her phone, and her phone is actually.
I think if she swipes right, you can hit the mic. Wait, hold on. or not yet, or no, tap the screen, tap your screen, and hit that red mic, or hit the mic to the left. You got it now? She said, yep, okay. Can you hear me?
Oh, she chatting with you?
Yeah, well, she's on the message thread now.
I don't think
she
I
has to get her microphone off.
Yeah.
See, this is really good. This is really good.
You just have to give her the approvals. If you hit the little red microphone, and then you'll come right in.
Yep. If she taps her screen, tap the screen, and then hit the mic. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you there?
Oh, she's
Hello?
Still muted. She is still muted.
That's all right. Well, she'll have
to. Let me get her in there. Okay, yeah, she's there. Anyway, Jonathan, someone else, they said they want to get in, but I want to try to wrap up because I got an early morning 8:30 meeting. I know that you do, too. Got things to do with people. And we're going to Jonathan and I are going to hash this out and figure this out, but I think I got it now. But because while we were talking, mostly while you were talking, I was doing other stuff here, and I figured out. But I'll tell you later because we don't want to let anybody know our trade secrets out there right now. And this is going to work out perfectly because of how we're going to set. And then we can go back to using our backdrops on that other program too. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be nice.
It could be way better because I figured out what was going on between the two platforms and why it wouldn't let us do what we need to do. But any last words?
Well, you know, we touched on some major things. You know, we have some. There is some news that Tim Walz could be extending the stay-at-home order. So we're just waiting for that, see what's going on. But, we'll keep everybody informed and, keep on doing our due diligence.
Yeah, we will. I appreciate everybody tuning in right now. We're obviously simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio so that we can have an archive of this, and this show will be recorded. But this will not be posted because it's not our own show. This is just kind of a testing thing, but it does work. And you know what? We can't be selfish with this technology because we don't own it. And if we did own it, we'd be forcing you to do it and use it. My suggestion to the public, anybody that's listening to this, go to Skype, go to Google Meet if you have a Gmail address. Learn this technology because our lives might depend on it one day. You're not always going to have a cell phone. And things, the future happened so quickly, March 18th, when they shut everything down.
Right.
We weren't prepared. They didn't make a thing that could fly to your house and give you a haircut and then fly back to its dock. We're not at that level yet. They didn't invent a thing that, you could press a button on your whatever you're wearing and you get shielded in some kind of medical field around your body like they have in sci-fi movies. That has not been invented yet. But if it happens, see, this stuff, the future, usually we're waiting and we're going to the future. The future's coming right to us. It's going to sit itself right on our back and try to make us understand what's going on. But with that said, man, we're going to sign out. Let's see if I can get a little James Brown going in the back on here. Yeah, we do. We got James. James is everywhere. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.